just have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. First of all, if you'd like to turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 together. I'll read a few verses, verse 4 and 5, first of all. Let's read this from Ephesians chapter 1. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Let's just have a look at verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We've heard a few words there that connect with God's plan, the purpose and the will of God mentioned. Being chosen, but being predestined, being chosen before the creation of the world. Predestination, big word. But you know, can you believe that God predestined that everyone that's become a Christian should be so? That he would give us a destiny to look for and to fulfill before the foundation of the world? Well, how long has God been alive? And how long will he live for? Eternity. Okay? There's not been a beginning for God. Even though it's difficult for us to understand these things, isn't it? Everything we know has got a beginning and an end. But God is eternal. He's always existed. It says so in the Bible. He's always existed. And I believe, and I'm not going to go into the science this morning, but I believe that God is outside of time. He's just there, outside of time. We're ticking away in an existence that is timed. And we're living out a period of time in our physical bodies. But God's outside of time. So what does that say about being predestined? It just means that because God knows the end before the beginning, he can choose who he wants and what he wants for each person's life. Is that right? Let's just have a quick look, if you're not convinced yet, of in Romans. If you look at Romans 8, 29. Right, it says there, Romans 8, 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. What's that say? Because he foreknew what was going to happen, he can choose those that he wants to place a destiny on their lives. But notice, he says, to be conformed to the likeness of his son. So our destiny is to be like Jesus, right? And we're being conformed to that. Now, conformed is not something that happened in the past. It's something that happens as we go through life, doesn't it? So remember that as we're thinking about God's plan and purposes for our lives. We're being conformed to the image of his son as we live our lives. So what is it that's being conformed? What is it that's being shaped? It's not our physical life, is it? We don't change shape to be conformed, to look like Jesus physically. but we are shaped to be like Jesus in nature. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All these things that are the nature of God. God is shaping us to look like him. Because in this life that we're talking about, that's eternal, when you see things, you don't see the physical. You see the spiritual. You see the soul. You see the nature. It's love that you see when you look at God, don't you? As Bob so well explained today about how Jesus loved us so much, he died for us. You know, when we look at Jesus, we see love, for God is love. So we see the nature. And that's what God wants other people to see in us. He wants people to look at each one of us. He's planned it so that each one of us will be a representation of Jesus. And as people look at us, they'll see the nature of God. And they'll see Jesus. Because we're being conformed, we're being shaped into the image of God through life. So God's got a plan for us. Right? And that plan is that we have life. And have it more abundantly. As we live in this physical body, he wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. So he wants us to live, living in fellowship eternally, living. God wants us to live. And if you're in the house groups, and I hope if you weren't this last week, you will be this week, as you've already heard, Raj's group is starting off this week, but there are three other groups, and we really hope that if you weren't in a group, and you can be in the TNT group if you like, if you're teens, 20s, or even 30s, TNT, it's an explosive group, I understand, so you can join that one, or you can be one of the other groups where the rest of us, slightly older people, but you know, we have great fellowship, don't we? You know, be there. And be involved, because we're talking about living. Living now. And if you're in one of those groups, you will have already seen that we start off looking at Ecclesiastes. And, you know, if you read the first part of Ecclesiastes, it's very depressing, isn't it? You know, it's all about, you know, the wind blows where it will, and the sea goes in and out, and your work is a bit of a toil, and you're doing this and you're doing that, and you're achieving nothing. You know, it's all a bit depressing and meaningless, isn't it? You know, but what's the meaning of life if you haven't found Jesus? Is there any meaning to it? Are you living, or are you just existing? Turning over the handle of life as you see it. And existing. But God's saying he wants us to live more than exist, doesn't he? He wants us to live with a purpose. That there's something that we want to actually be involved in. We've got a purpose, we've got a focus. You know, when you've got a purpose in life, there's something that you get up in the morning for, not just to go to work. And it's good if you enjoy getting up for work. And achieving something and doing something. But you know, if God's given you a purpose and a plan for your life, then there really is something that can drive you forward. So we're talking about living. We're not talking about existing, are we? As Christians, God has a plan that we would live. We'd be living in that plan, not just existing. And fulfilling the destiny. You know, I'm involved in FGB, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. We've got a convention this year in October in Nottingham. And do you know what the title of it is? Fulfill Your Destiny. It's exactly the same thing that we're studying and we're looking at together as a church at the moment. A purpose-driven life. We're here to fulfill our destiny. And what does that give you the sense of? That It's not something that God's preordained this. It's all predestined. God's chosen it. Therefore, I can just sit back and it'll happen, won't it? Yes? No? We have to live this life, don't we? Which means we have to do things. If we're to fulfill our destiny, we have to do things. We're not robots, are we? We might have been, you know, God foreknew. He knew the end before the beginning, so he could plan something. He could even have a destiny set out for us. Destiny to be his sons, it says, doesn't it? In Ephesians 1. You know, there's a plan there for us to be in relationship with God. But it's for us to live and us to fulfill. And God, because he loves us, gives us free will, doesn't he? So although we've got a plan, and it's predestined where we will finish up, we still have to live the life. We still have to make the decisions. We still have to walk in fellowship eternally, don't we? And live in that fellowship. So I believe God's saying something to us very important as a church at the moment about finding God's will, finding God's plan, but knowing that God has a plan for you and therefore having a purpose in life so that we can live this life rather than just sit back and think it's great being a Christian, isn't it? There's more to it than that. God wants us to fulfill the destiny he's placed on our lives. So living, very important. You know, and while we're talking about free will and being chosen, let's just throw in John 15, verse 16, which says, God has chosen us, right? You have not chosen yourselves. God has chosen for you. Actually says that, doesn't it? You have not chosen, but I have chosen, that you may go and bear much fruit, it says. What's the fruit? The nature. He's chosen us so that we can start to bear the nature of God and bear much fruit, the love, the joy, the peace. But although God's chosen us, we still have to choose, don't we? Maybe give you a few more illustrations of that later on. But we still have to live the life. We still have to choose. We still have to make decisions and set our face to fulfilling the destiny that God's placed before us. So living in. What we're living in. Well, you might say we're living in a physical body. And that's true. But this life that we're talking about is in Christ. We're only living this life if we're living it in Christ. And what does Romans 8 say? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So to be in Christ is somebody that walks according to the Spirit, led by the Spirit. So this life, we only really experience it if we know we're in Christ. That means Christ in us, having accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour. But being in Christ, staying in Christ, being led by the Spirit rather than led by what we think, what our flesh thinks, what our desires think, and being led. Because God, as Jesus, Lord of our lives, knows what's best for us. He can lead us, can't he? So I believe God's saying, live this life in Christ, in the body. Some of you might remember I've shared a few messages about being in the body of Christ, being a part of the body of Christ, and what we should do as members of the body of Christ, how we should be, and how we should live. But we've got to be in the body, haven't we? We've got to be part of the body. We've got to be in Christ. And we are the body of Christ. Amazing thought. We're all parts of the body of Christ on earth today. But we've got to be in that body. And how are we in that body? How are we part of a body, if not through fellowship? Living in fellowship. And what does fellowship mean? Well, I believe one word, the Greek word, is koinonia, if I'm right. Not good at Greek, but something like that. And what it means is participation. Fellowship, you know, the same word for fellowship, means participation. That means being involved, doesn't it? Being a part of the body of Christ in fellowship. Now, fellowship, we understand as, you know, building relationships. And that's what God wants us to do in this church, each one of us. If we're a part of the body, we can't be a part of the body and really live in fellowship eternally unless we're connected and we share fellowship one with another. Because I believe that's how the body grows. So, I'm going on a bit about the house groups today. Or life groups, if you want to call them that. But, you know, we need to be involved. It's good. And hopefully we're doing a bit of living in fellowship eternally this morning as we come together. But what does Hebrews say? Let me just take you to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Verse 24 of Hebrews 10 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Consider, how can you spur one another on? Well, you have to share some time with people first, don't you, to be able to do that? You have to meet with them and encourage them and spur them on so that all the parts of the body will start to live as we want them to, fulfilling their destiny. We can each play a part in that. And how do we do that? Well, it says in the next verse, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So there is a role for each one of us to encourage other members. And not to give up meeting together. Now, I'm not promoting that the only way you can have fellowship is in meetings. And you have meetings for meeting's sake, almost. But, you know, the importance of the body coming together cannot be overemphasized. It's the way that we do encourage one another. It's the way that we do grow. It's the way that we do spur one another on. And it's the way that we have fellowship, where we participate and we're involved one with each other. So please, try and come. We've put names on lists out there, and hopefully we've got everybody's name on that list, on one of those lists. But it's only a recommendation. You can go to whichever group you want to. And we're even perhaps not saying that the TNT is just limited to, you know, a certain age group. You know, we can't be legalistic, can we? But, you know, if you want to go to the younger person's group, then go. You know, we'll see what they do when you arrive. But if you want to go to any of the other groups, then go. If it's more convenient for you, go to another group. Switch your name to another group. We're not trying to be hard and fast, but what we're trying to do is encourage everybody in this church to go to a midweek group. One evening is what we're saying. To share fellowship with others. And we know that some of you have got families. It's difficult for some of you. You've got families, you've got children. You may even be working in the evenings. You know, there are difficulties, and we understand that. But if you can manage, even if it's one of you, to get to a group, even every so often, you know, then that's better than nothing, isn't it? So please do that, because it's so important that we have fellowship, that we participate one with another. We're involved with each other, that we spur one another on. Fellowship. so important to living life as God wants us to have it. So where we're up to, fellowship eternally. Living in fellowship eternally. Well, you know, I could have used another word there, because eternally just means all the time, doesn't it? So we don't need to go too far there. But I could have used the word Emmanuel there. I really thought of using living in fellowship Emmanuel. Now, what does that mean? Living in fellowship Emmanuel. Yeah, you're quite right. It doesn't mean living in eternal fellowship with the Emmanuel family. You know, Joe and Di and Paul, they're nice people, but you don't have to have fellowship with them eternally. Oh, do you? Yes, you do. Yeah, but, you know, that's good, isn't it? But it doesn't mean that, does it? Emmanuel is God with us. So if you're living in fellowship, God with us, it means we're living in fellowship in the presence of God, fulfilling the destiny and the purpose and the calling of God on our lives. That's what God wants. It's an ongoing thing, but it's in the presence of God. How else can we be in Christ if we're not being led by the Spirit all the time? In his presence. I believe God's calling us. He has a plan for each of us to be in his presence and living this life. I'm going to finish with just a few illustrations of people that God had plans for in the Bible. You know, God had plans for the nation of Israel. You know, and it's amazing how the nation of Israel is a picture so often of individual Christians. But God had plans for the nation of Israel. Turn to Jeremiah if you can find that quickly. Right, you'll all remember this one, in Jeremiah 29. God had plans for the nation of Israel, but you know, the nation of Israel were in exile when Jeremiah wrote this. They'd gone into Babylon in exile, having a rough time, away from their home. And Jeremiah was prophesying to them. And he said this in verse 10 of Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise. So he did have plans, didn't he? He made promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. You know, they were out in exile, but God had plans for them. So even though they might not have been thinking much about God's plans when they were in exile, the future for them had good plans to be fulfilled from God. And I believe that God has those same plans for us. Because the nation of Israel was often used, the Jewish nation was often used as an illustration for individual Christians to know that he has plans for us too. And what about Jeremiah 18? Well, before we leave Jeremiah, remember the clay? It says in verse 4 of Jeremiah 18, but the pot he was shaping, this is the potter he was just talking about, as an illustration of how he was going to treat the house of Israel. It says in verse 4, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. Now, if things are spoiled, if things go wrong, that's not necessarily part of God's plan. Because we do things, don't we? We do things wrong sometimes. We're not all perfect quite yet, although I did say once that we all ought to aim to be perfect in the spirit, in the nature. We do things wrong. We make mistakes. Things go wrong. It's as though the pot is marred. It's gone misshapen. What's the purpose of this? What's this? Is this God's will for my life, we might say? What is it? No, I don't believe it's God's will that we should make mistakes and go wrong. But God's plan is to mould us and conform us, isn't it? So what happens next after that? Clay was marred in his hand, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. Verse 9. We are like that clay. We do make mistakes. We make wrong choices at times, don't we, sometimes? We don't always make the choices that God wants us to make. But does that say that God's plan is wrong? No, it just means he foreknew. He knew beforehand we're going to make those mistakes. And he still chose us to be conformed to his image. And he still helps us to reshape and use the experiences of life. Romans 8, God works together, all things for good for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. His plan, if you really want to fulfill God's plan, he will take every circumstance of life and reshape it and use it for good. Doesn't mean to say he brings those bad things. You know, we still have bad things happen to us, don't we? We have some terrible things that some of us have to go through in life. But God doesn't say he'll take those away, does he? He just says he'll bring us through. He'll shape, he'll take the opportunity to reshape our lives, our natures, through that and bring good out of those circumstances. And we can't see them sometimes. And we see some terrible things happen, don't we? And we can't understand how God could allow that sort of thing, but we've got free will. Things happen in the world because of evil, because of all sorts of things. But God will use those. For those who love him and are called according to his purposes, he'll use them to mould them and shape them like clay in the potter's hands. So that his plan that he knows we can fulfil, if we continue to submit to him, to be in Christ, and allow ourselves to be moulded. Right, I've used most of my time on that one illustration, but I was going to mention Joshua as well. Just to say, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you shall serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Choose. We're not robots, are we? We have the option to choose to serve the Lord and see his plan and purposes fulfilled in our lives. Gideon, mighty warrior, that's what God called him. He says, "I'm the weakest in my clan. If you think you're useless, if you think you're weak and can't do anything, well, God knows different. And he can use you and reshape that pot and make you into what he wants you to be. Just like Gideon. What about Paul? He was a persecutor, wasn't he? Of Christians. God called him. God had a plan and a purpose for his life. And he fulfilled that destiny. And yet you only have to read in Philippians 3 particularly, how Paul was focused on reaching that destiny. He had a purpose in life now. And he was going to press on and see that destiny fulfilled, because he knew God had a plan and a purpose for his life. What about Peter? Peter denied the Lord, didn't he? And yet God had a plan that he would stand on the day of Pentecost and see thousands come to the Lord. And he'd be a bold witness for God. It doesn't matter. Even if you deny God, he can still use you. And he still has a plan for you. But you know, God has a plan for each one of us, doesn't he? God is calling each one of us, I believe, to fulfill your destiny. But God has a plan for each one of us. And the difficult times, the problems, are not part of God's will for us. But he will use them. Remember that. He does use. He brings good. And he molds us to be more.